jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So I'm going a little bit with my tongue down passive look today. Not with the bright red and the red shirts. I'm just gonna try to blend in a little bit this morning if it's okay with you out there. Appreciate all of you joining us. And I'm in one of those moods today. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday were just kind of, I was in a fog, to be honest with you, because of the jet lag and the change in time zones. After the show was over, about noon yesterday, I think it was, I took about a 2.5-3 hour nap, man. I was dead to the world. And so I'm beginning to get my feet back under me today. And then I woke up this morning and my feet are back under me today. So if I've been seeming like, I just thank Larry. I want to thank, Mark, those of you who picked up carried the basket for me while we were down here. But boy, we are up and running today. And this is going to be one of those shows that you're not going to want to miss. It's almost like a Friday free for all or Friday flea flicker, although it's really not. It's just, I'll share it here with you in just a second. Okay. Can I give you a fair warning? Some of you maybe are watching the show for the first time. This happens to me a lot, by the way. People who have watched the show for a short period of time, something begins to happen and that their eyes begin to open. And I'm not taking any credit for it. We get here and we discuss stuff and we have guys bring in different things from different perspectives, things that people never really thought about. And all of a sudden we find that you're kind of out of that hole that you were stuck in. And once you pull yourself out of that hole and you look around like a little chipmunk, and then you go running and you want to explore a little bit more. And I called it, a little bit of a spiritual growth that's going on. Or how about this? A little bit of spiritual curiosity begins to come up inside and you say, well, wait a minute. How come I'm not hearing about this in my church? How come I never heard about that? And I have to give you a warning that as you watch this show, there's going to be a lot of it. Like Larry's teaching yesterday, and he's going to do a brief little follow up on that for us here this morning. I learned something yesterday. Did you learn? I learned something yesterday. And I'm thinking, man, this is really, really good. But here's what I want to warn you against. Here's the problem that you're going to run into. People are comfortable in their faith. They're comfortable in their Christianity. And when you begin to come in and bring stuff that they have not heard from a perspective that they've never looked at it before, you're going to hit a spot where they are going to hit the pause button. They hit the pause button, and then here's what's going to happen. They're either going to make the decision to move on, meaning go deeper, or they're going to go back in the hole. They're going to go back into that religious system where they felt comfortable, blend in, and just live the rest of their life happy and ignorant. There are a lot of people that do that. That's your choice. Go ahead and do it. But you're going to come to a crossroads. If you continue to watch, I'm just giving you fair warning. If you continue to watch, you're going to come to a crossroads. You're going to have to decide, am I going back into that hole? Am I going to go hibernate? Or am I going to continue to expand my view of understanding what's going on? And in my effort over the last 2 weeks, really, to try to get to the Holy Spirit, I haven't got there yet. Still haven't got there. We're going to. It's not going to be today. We're going to get there. But I want you to know that those of you who are staying with us, you're staying with us not because you are, not because I'm such a great teacher, not because the only reason you're staying with us is because you've decided you don't want to run back in that hole. You don't want to run back in that hole. And I noticed over the last couple of weeks, as I was kind of looking back at what I've been trying to teach, where trying to go, that some of the things we've been doing accidentally in some ways By the way, Mark Trump's the one that really enlightened me to this. And then I listened to a show last night on Hagman and Hagman. Folks, listen, you got to go back. You got to go see. You have got to go listen to that show last night on Bitcoin. You hearing me, Roger? You have got to go listen to this show last night on Bitcoin. Because it's my, all of a sudden, there it happened. I popped my head up. Woo, wow, bang. And now I begin to understand that and what's going on with cryptocurrencies and the fact that it's an, as we've been saying on this show, it was Mark Taylor who told us that God is dealing with our institution. That's where the judgment is coming. And one of those institutions, as I listened to the Bitcoin guy last night on Hagman, was the financial system. That upheaval, oh man, hey Roger, listen, you guys out there, listen. Bitcoin is at $18,000 today. 14 maybe, it's 14,000, started at 2 cents. It's $14,000 today for Bitcoin. Only less than 1% of the American population even know anything about Bitcoin. Less than 1%. And the guy was saying last night that here soon, 10% of the people's eyes are going to be open to it. And if you think $14,000 for a Bitcoin is something, he said, you hang on to your hat because it's an entire financial reset that's taking place all across the world. I'm not going to bore you with it. It was 2 hours on with Steve Quayle. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the guy's name on Hagman and Hagman last night. It was captivating. So I'm trying to help you get your head up out and look around. Okay. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. And you make the decision whether or not you want to go forward or whether you want to go back into the hole. Because I know this. There's some who want to go back in the hole. Some. And I'm not, hey, as much as I want to, as much as I love them, I ain't going to go and try to drag them back out. You guys hear me? I love you. If you fall off, that's okay. I'm not coming back after you. I'm not going to. You want to live in comfort and want to.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Coach, just. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying, but here's the deal. For those of you, if you choose to go backwards, you know, before you probably didn't know about all the false teaching you were hearing. Now you're going to know it, and you're going to willfully go back to a church that's getting worse and worse, filled with more and more false teaching and paganism. So you better really think twice whether you really want to go back to that.
You know why they have to think about that, George? Because the word's very clear. Broad is the way and narrow, right? Many and few. So I'm not, you know, listen, I'm not trying to make you feel bad like I'm a know-it-all, but you guys come back here day after day after day because the Spirit's drawing you and there's something deep that's going to go on there, okay?
Isn't there a verse that's spoken by Jesus, which came from God through the Holy Spirit, that said, if you put your hand to the plow
and look back,
you are not worthy of me?
We're not worthy of the kingdom. It might be better not even to put your hand on the plow. Huh?
Luke 9:62.
Hey, JR, ain't everybody with us here, okay? Ain't everybody with us? And see, one of the things we have to guard against, and I fight this all the time, I really do, I fight this, is a sense of exclusivity. We're right and everybody else is wrong. We have to fight that because sometimes we may not be right. But everybody comes into this show, you know, when you watch this show, you're open to say whatever the heck you want to. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. You can agree differently. But you guys keep coming back because you're saying, you know, it's and you know her. You're saying, you know, there's something to that. There's something to that. So I am not, as I say over and over and over, I'm not trying to build anything. I'm trying to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And the scripture says that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And I'm going to continue to ask those questions. Okay? Now, before I get too deep in it, let me pause right now. I'm going to bring Larry in because Larry wants to put a little bow on what he taught yesterday. And Larry, by the way, I got a lot of response from a lot of people who really, really appreciated that. But Larry, they're scratching their head because that's not what they've been taught.
Well, right? I have shared that very rarely with a large group at all. Sometimes one or two people. And sometimes 5 years later, I get a phone call. Hey, now I see what you were talking about. Mm. So if they're scratching their heads, just don't wear a groove in it by scratching it for 5 years, because I don't think we got a whole lot of time left.
Yeah, nothing wrong with scratching it. That's all right. So go ahead, Larry. Go ahead and put the bow on this on what we're talking. If you didn't see that Larry's teaching on prayer yesterday, go back. Watch yesterday's show. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, three things basically, real simple. Number one is what that prayer is called. You know, words have meanings, and you got the Catholics call it the Our Father. Other people call it the Lord's Prayer. For years, I've been calling it the Disciples' Prayer because he gave that prayer as a model, not a sample, but a model for his disciples to follow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been calling it the Disciples' Prayer for years, but I woke up this morning and the Holy Spirit says, even you miss the simple stuff. He says, that is our prayer. So I'm chewing on that one now, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the next thing that the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance that I didn't bring up yesterday that I was planning on it, but we didn't have time, was what about praying out loud? Well, now, number one, Jesus prayed out loud several times in the scripture, and I believe he did it for a specific purpose so that his disciples and those around him would hear it. So they would be able to record it in their writings later so that it would be left for us.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, Jesus prayed out loud, so there's nothing wrong with us praying out loud. In fact, I think the way the prayer starts, Our Father, and then it says, which art in heaven. Well, that kind of identifies which Father we're praying to. You know, some people, their father is Satan. Jesus told us so.
Right.
So when we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, and whether if we pray it in our spirits, not out loud, God hears it anyway. But I don't think the devil hears it. I don't think the devil can read our minds. He can play.
We can't. We know he can't. We know he cannot read our thoughts. We know that. He's not omniscient.
So when we pray Our Father, which art in heaven, out loud, we're just punching the devil in the nose. Okay? We're telling him, hey, not you, buddy. Get out of here. Don't you pretend I'm praying to you. All right?
Mm.
And now, remember the verse where Jesus says, don't stand on the corner and pray to be seen by others? That didn't say don't pray in public. It said don't pray out loud in public. It said don't pray out loud in public for the wrong reason.
That's right, to bring attention to yourself or whatever. Yep.
And we can chew on that one too.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff, Larry. It's good stuff. And like I said, that's a rabbit hole I've popped my head up out of, and I'm still scratching my head. See, here's what you want to know what makes you scratch your head, folks? You've been taught something and you read something and they don't add up. And so you say, well, am I going to believe what Brother Tom taught me? My mom and dad, we've been in that church for 40 years and Brother Tom has been teaching us this for 40 years. And so now you have a decision. Are you going to believe what Brother Tom Are you going to believe Brother Tom? Or are you going to believe your own eyes? That's where we are. And the idea that, see, you're not a theologian. You're not smart enough. You're not a professional Christian. So therefore, you can't read and you can't think. Well, the Holy Spirit inside you guides all of us into all truth. The Lord is my shepherd. I have an earthly pastor, but the Lord is my shepherd. It is my pastor and my shepherd. I don't know where we ever came up with that idea. I don't know where we ever came up with that idea that a human man would be your pastor, your shepherd. I don't know what that is. Now, I understand in the church how that whole thing operates. I understand. But the pastor gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. The pastor doesn't seem to be that. He didn't. I won't go into that. Because I got some other fish I want to fry here this morning.
You know, a lot of people take that verse about feed my sheep, that's the pastor's job to feed the sheep. Now, a shepherd's job is not to feed the sheep. It is to take the sheep where the food is.
Right. That's it, brother. Hey, JR asks, what's a prayer closet? What's my prayer closet? I think that the prayer closet, JR, is just simply just getting away. Hear me. You go into the prayer closet, not so that others won't see you, but so that it's quiet and you can hear better from the Lord. It isn't about where you are because of what you're about to say. It's about where you are so everything else is blocked out. That's the purpose of the prayer closet. Remember, prayer isn't you asking God. Prayer is communication. Back and forth. Hey, turn that down over there. I can't hardly hear. And that's where you go into your prayer closet. Why?
Hey, Coach.
That'd be my answer to that one, Jared. Yeah, Jared.
just to jump in here, something that God's kind of put on my heart lately is, even with that, there's a St. John Chrysostom. He was a saint back in, I don't know, 400s or something. And he talks about, and it's just like in the Bible, where he talks about, you know what, you can fast in public and be prideful. And you can fast in private and be prideful. Mm-hmm. And you can do anything and be prideful. So even if you're going into your prayer closet and you're saying, and then in your own mind you're just saying, I'm more righteous than Jane over there. I pray in my prayer closet. Then you got to be careful. It's the motive, right? That's it.
It is the motive. It is the motive. And that's why, yeah, I'm sure you guys noticed this. I'm constantly downplaying my role. And that's not false humility. One of the things that I think has really, really hurt Christianity is Christian stars. Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Billy Graham. See, when you start focusing on those guys, your focus is off who the focus ought to be on, right? That's why I'm very sensitive. I'm not giving you false humility and saying that I'm not important in what's going on here, because Coach Dave lied. So certainly I'm somewhat important on it. But I can't say it enough. Don't follow me. This ain't about me. I'm the vessel that the Lord's working through. And I try to bring guys to the table who offer us stuff that we had never thought about. Rather than me coming in here every day and say, you know, I got the revelation. Here's what I think. And then the rest of you are supposed to agree with. Don't ever want it to be like that. Because some of these major ministries we see in America, I think of, what was his name? The guy down in Louisiana, Jimmy Swaggart. Look what happened to his ministry when he fell. What would happen to World Harvest Church if Pastor Rob Parsley fell? What would happen to Benny Hinn ministry if Benny Hinn... See, you cannot build a ministry with a man at the top. It isn't going to work. And I'm so pat myself on the back, I guess. I'm so honored that on Tuesday this program ran without me. Yesterday I was here, but Larry did it. I didn't have to do it. And to me, that's the way the body ought to function.
Hey, Coach?
And comments? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I heard a quote once said, moments turn into movements when the founder of your church really knows Jesus. And you know, when a movement dies is when the followers only know the founder.
Give me that again. Give me that again. That's good.
It says moments turn into movements when the founder of your church really knows Jesus. And do you know when a movement dies is when the followers only know the founder.
Unbelievable, man. Is that ever it? So it's Coach Dave Live, but I don't ever want it to be about me, because I know what I am right now, what I could be, and I understand hearing his voice. And I'm smart enough to understand that that thought didn't come from me. That makes sense? See, I don't think I'm special because I hear from, I get a revelation or different. I don't think that makes me special. That makes me humble. And Lord, why me? Are you kidding? Why me?
Amen.
Why me? Let me show you a couple stuff here on this. I want to get back into some stuff that's going on. I think it's kind of important for us. All right. Sarah asked, where's the chapter and verse of that prayer clause? That's a good question, Sarah. I guess we made up the idea of the prayer clause. It says don't, because that whole diatribe there on not praying publicly, we thought we have to retreat inside our prayer closet. Hey guys, we got to be very, very careful, because we have a tendency to mix our faith with religion. What's that, Larry? Matthew 6?
Matthew 6:6 about the prayer closet.
Matthew 6:6. Oh, there it is. That's right. But you, when you pray, enter into the closet. When you have shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which sees thee secretly shall reward you openly. Okay, that's it. Yeah. But again, closet means quiet. So I think quiet space, to be able to, so that a dialogue's two way, not just one way. So I want to show you this. Jared, pull up where it says email from last night. I want to share this with you. And I'm going to be sensitive, because this just piggybacks on what I was trying to tell you, okay? It just piggybacks what I was trying to tell you about people poking their head up out of the hole and looking around. This happens regularly. I hear from people who say, Coach, you can get ready to raise your hand here. Say, hey, Coach, I'm going to talk to my pastor about having you come to our church. I hear five of them a day. I'm trying to get you to come to our church, Pastor. I'll talk to our pastor and see if you can come and speak to our men. And then I never hear back. And you know why I never hear back? Well, you know why I never hear back. Because the pastor says, do you have any information on this guy? Because, by the way, he has to guard the flock. Make sure the pulpit's not being politicized. And so they give one of my videos. They go look at my videos, and the guy poked his head up and scared him, and he ran back down and said, I can't have that in here. So I got an email, and I got his permission to share this. I'm not going to say who it is. It doesn't matter. Because it happened. We're trying to put on an event in another part of outside of Ohio, and going through this process with this good brother who watches the show. He's probably watching right now. And so he went to his church and wanted to know not whether a coach could come and speak, but could he use a building, a room at the church for me to come in? And of course, he did what they asked him to do. Well, send us some information on the coach, blah, blah, blah. And he's only been gone here for, I think he said, 23 years or something like that. So he's not some spring chicken in his church. And he hears back, takes him a while, but he finally hears back from his church. And his church, what does his church say? Well, yeah, we can, but we're going to have to charge you. We're going to have to charge you to use it. And it would be funny if it wasn't so funny, right? I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't so sad. And so we find another place in the town. It's a city park with a building. We can rent that one cheaper than you could the church, by the way, where he'd gone for 20 some years and probably, I don't know his history, probably paid his tithes and all, probably been a faithful supporter of the church. Now they want to rent him the building for a man to come in and talk about faith. This is craziness, isn't it? So I had a good conversation with him last night. I'm tell him, don't be discouraged, man. Don't be discouraged. Remember, we're poking our head up and looking around, and we're looking for others whose heads are poking up and want to look around. We're trying to bring those guys together. So there are many of them. Don't get upset. I'm just warning you out there. You're not going to get a positive response if you go to your pastor and ask me to come in, because I speak against what's going on there. So I got this email. Yeah. Yeah, Roger.
Oh, I was just going to give a little, I've been one of those poking my heads up guys. And sometimes it will mean something coming. Nobody outrightly sends me to the back of the bus. You know, you feel it. When you go into a meeting, when you walk into a meeting where they're discussing a new bill, they know you're not coming with normal questions. They know you're not coming with normal insight. And your question is always, before you even ask the question, many of those have already, they kind of determined where they're going to go with their answer. And you just have to be prepared. Now, I'm not the biggest stander up in the community or in society, but I feel it. I sense it. I would tell most people that where I worship, there's a certain amount of when Roger Weaver shows up, we're gonna have to tangle a little bit. And I don't even go in there with that feeling. I don't go in purposely. I go in because I have questions that are somewhat different. There's nothing unique about them, but they're just looking at things differently. And it comes forward from programs like The Huddle and other things through my life that just say, there's a different perspective. Let's give this some thought. So it is clear as day. It happens.
Yeah, they see you. They think you got a post hole digger when you come walking in and say, oh, my goodness, he's going to dig a hole here. No, we – and see, that ought to be liberty. So, man, I can't believe we used 24 minutes already. I want to stay. Listen, Jared's got it up. His email from last night, Jared's put up on the screen. And you tell me if this isn't it. He emailed me, texted me this morning, says, Coach, after our talk last night, one of the problems I am seeing is Christians who should be on the meat of the word aren't. Hebrews 5:12-6:1. It says, when you teach, someone better have a good set of teeth and throw away the straw, because you're teaching meat and some are just choking on the information. Remember when a baby first gets mashed potatoes from someone's plate? They kind of shake their head until they get their taste buds used to the flavor, the new flavor, and then they can't get enough. That's what I get from your teaching. I can't get enough. Thanks, Coach. God bless. That's it, isn't it? Isn't that really it? Mashed potatoes. It's mashed potatoes. They've taken you off of the milk and they've given you mashed potatoes. And they want to keep you on the milk. Because why? They serve good warm milk. That's what they do. They have their good milk. And everybody's happy with milk. So I just thought I'd share it. Just I thought that was so much of really it and what really, really is going on. Comment? Is that you guys? Is that where y'all are?
Well, Coach.
Where I am. Yep.
Just just to back that up, there's a local church here, the Rockstar Church, and one of the families in there, their son came out to be a homo, or is thinking about being they're a homo or whatever. And they go to the pastor and they say, hey, pastor, what should we do about this? And he says, you should find a new church. We don't deal with that.
No, he didn't.
And it's the parents, for wanting to change their child, are the bad guys. Like, the homo guy can come. We're just not even going to talk about it. Like,
wow. But they don't cover that one, huh? They don't dig that hole. Yeah, they don't dig that hole. That's what it is. Excuse me. So folks, listen. Man, I get that frog out of there. That's what we're swimming against. And as I woke up this morning, I was doing some research. I was up about 5. I went to bed at 9. Sleep at 9, up at 5. That's 8 hours sleep. I love my new life that I got now, that I don't stay up late anymore and I get up early. I woke up and I was sharp and I was chipper and began to watch some things. I began to think about, for instance, let me just throw this out as a for instance. Every one of the guys in the queue, everybody watching this probably, and maybe some listening, unless you're new, understand the what's going on with pedophilia. Or sort of have an understanding of it. And child trafficking, and at least that would, if somebody started talking about that, you would have some idea. You wouldn't be, what? What? Now, whether you agree with it, whether you think Pete's gate was real, pedophile gate, whether you believe all that, at least you're conversant on it. You would be able to interject something into the debate. And I was realizing yesterday, or this morning when I got up, do you have any idea how much of the Christian world has no idea? Has no idea. Jared, they don't talk about that here. And how real and how important and how central the sexual abuse, not only of little children, how much a part of life it is, how many of the men in the church are using pornography, deviant sex thoughts, that is ingrained so deeply in the church. And so then we're surprised when we read something about these people who certainly don't know Jesus in any way, shape, or form, and find out that they go deeper into sexual deviancy. And we are so foolish and so blind and so buried in our hole that all we say is they just need to get saved. That is so shallow. Of course they just need to get saved. But this thing is so deep and so pervasive and so demonic that the average person in church doesn't have any idea at all. They don't have any idea. And we laugh when we hear people talking about the deep state and Trump's draining the swamp. And the average person, Christian I'm talking about, has no, yeah, there's a good picture. They have no idea. What is the swamp? What is the swamp? Who is the deep state? They have no spiritual understanding at all. And fellas, if the demonic side is in control, the dark side in control, why do they call it the dark side, by the way? Why do they call it the dark web? Why do they call it the dark ops? Why do they call it dark? Because it's being done secretly in darkness, out of the light. Shouldn't the children of the light be aware of what's going on in the dark? Or should we just put our head under, put it back up there, Jared? Put that picture up. Should I just stick my head down? Just how it's not there? Oh, Lord, bless me and my family. Keep us safe, Lord Jesus. Protect my finances, Lord. Oh, and help Sister Sarah get over her treatment. Is that it? Is that what it's supposed to be? And is it any wonder we're so stinking ineffective in the world? There it is. Look at the picture Jared's put up there on the screen. That's the American church. We don't talk about that here. We just talk about Jesus here. And that's why you go to a church where you've gone to for 22 years and they make you want to rent a building. And the truth is they didn't even really want him to rent it. Probably. They didn't want any part of it. Why? Because they got their own holes in their heads that are already in them. And they don't want to open up and look around. Fellas, this is what you are going to be fighting for as long as you continue to have your head up. You're going to be fighting it. And so my process goes like this. Next, I know right away if somebody's open to it. I don't waste time on it. And it's exactly what Roger said. I know I have members of my own family who want to walk the other way when they see me coming. Somebody say amen? Mm-hmm. I don't care. And that has to be the attitude that we're going to have to develop. I want to show you something that's here. Make sure I pull the right thing up there. Yeah, that's good. Hey, Jared, pull up the first thing down there. Mark Trump sent this to me this morning. It's called stemexpress.com. StemExpress. These are the body parts ghouls. Do you think the Christian church has any idea this is going on? Hey, Mark, maybe you can speak to this a little bit, but I wanted, Jared, just leave that thing right there a minute, because normally the screen changes from coast to coast. Go to the next one, Jared. Coast to coast collection facilities, your source for quality. It's like McDonald's. It's like Burger King. Your source for quality, fresh cells. Our donor pool is the difference. Where do you
click on products?
What's that? Go to products, Jared. Click on products. Do you think the church has any idea, or we don't talk about this here? Look at the products. Go ahead, Mark. Talk about this a second.
Well, go to peripheral blood. And Sarah may be able to pitch in more about this, but these are the blood that's collected from the children and the cells, and they process it, and they gather killer cells, which are mixed in our blood. And they concentrate those into these CD numbers. CD56, for instance, natural killer cells, see that? So that is supposed to go into your body just like a baby would ward off viruses and build antibodies and things like that. Not sure of, see the stem precognitor cells, CD34? Those are stem cells.
They're ghouls! They're stinking ghouls!
It's horrible. Now think about a basket of heads in a box going to this company and they open it and it's full of baby heads, you know? I mean, it's just fathom what's going on in the world because we are not of the world, you know, we're just in it. But this is the kind of stuff people rely on for their income every day. They go to work and
there probably wouldn't be any aborted baby products there, do you suppose, Mark? Planned Parenthood, maybe, because what they
don't
get the service. What
do
they say about
that?
They get these from the best places. They said, "Man, our fresh cooked bread. What is it? Freshly cooked bread, or our beef is unfrozen." I saw that the other day. Never frozen beef. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, and they do it in the name of science, right? Anybody hear a sermon on this in your church any recently? Well, you've been hearing sermons on how to get financially free. Stem Express cuts ties with Planned Parenthood after expose video shows sales of aborted babies. Oh yeah. So Stem Express they don't want out there what really is going on. Go ahead, Mark.
The reality, I believe, and again, we could get some medical professionals to attest to it, but stem cells help us regenerate. They help us build parts of our body that we no longer have and things like that. It's truly God's regenerative science. But as we move into the AI world, these robots are trying to get emotions. Trying to get glands which will produce pheromones and do things like humans. I think that stem cell research is going to have a big part of our cyborg generation coming.
So, folks, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
We can't truly connect with the equipment, but using stem cell research, our bodies can probably learn how. About it is we don't know exactly how stem cells do what they do other than they do it.
And I saw a study the other day. Of course, I read a lot of stuff. And have you guys noticed this? Have you noticed the explosion of deviant sexual proclivities? It used to just be homo and straight. Then it was homo and straight and bi, and homo and straight and bi and trans, and homo and straight and bi and trans and gay and homo and straight. They keep adding initials, right? And I was reading something that this is happening. Literally, this is happening because our DNA is being changed. And our DNA is being changed not only through what we eat, but through the stuff that we're seeing right here. Who knows what was injected into some of these deviant sex people as children? Who knows what was, when they say they were born that way, maybe they were vaccinated that way. Something that would cause a genetic malfunction. Guys, autism, I just saw that autism is now one in like 75 children have some form of autism. Why? Well, why? And why? What do you suppose the odds are now of sexual deviance? They used to say 3%. Now they're saying 10%. You know, they might be right. It might be 10%. And the influence of the demonic world, the changing of the DNA. Hey, by the way, when's the last sermon you had on this? Anybody have a sermon on this lately at church? Well, we don't talk about that here. We don't poison the pulpit with worldly stuff. No, are you feeling me out there, boys? Somebody jump in here. I'm going to move to the next topic. I got several topics today. What's this, Jared? Teachers attend LGBT. This ain't made up. Sensitivity training. Did we miss anyone? And could it be some of these things are genetic modified? Could it be artificial? Could it be all this stuff that Mark Trump's talking about here? Could this stuff be going on?
Just while you were talking, Google released the gene reading tool, blah, blah, blah. It talks about it. I put it in there, but it's called Deep Variant. So this analytics deep variant is tailored towards reading genetic data with high levels of accuracy so that it can be changed and adjusting mutations. But the whole idea is absolutely right. Anything that you can think of can work. Right there's the data around what you were saying. It's not a speculation. Where's it going? Cyborgs and augmented humans, which we were talking about before the show. I think that's
well,
where it's going.
Praise the Lord. We'll be out of here before any of that happens. So we don't have to deal with it, brothers. Let's just get people saved.
One other note crazy about this, if you go to that link on Deep Variant, there is the file. There's a folder with the source. So Google's releasing the source code for other people to use. So it's open source technology. You can see the code right on that link I gave you. It's crazy.
See, here's what it is. Mark is way outside the hole. He's been outside the hole for a while. He sees what's going on. Rest of us, we're just kind of poking our head up and we can't figure it out. But Mark, every time I talk to you, my neck gets longer. I want to see a little bit more. I'm still in my hole to some degree. Guys, don't ever forget, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power.
What we all are going to be faced with is, even in this forum, I don't mind releasing all this information because you guys, your eyes are open, as Coach is saying. But us out in the communities with the knowledge we have, but it's also putting us in a prison unless you know how to deliver it. And that's the part where Coach has given us tools and tricks and ways to act on this knowledge. And it's really, really tough. I'm working with my wife and others on how to break down the data so that other people can digest it. Frustrating, because we have learned more, and society isn't. So
it's knowledge will increase, right? So, folks, listen, this comes back. Listen, here's what I've shared with this with you before. This is, I think, really, really, really key. Ask questions. Don't tell people what you know. Just be Johnny Appleseed. Just plant seeds in the minds of people. Like, for instance, hey, have you noticed this chemtrails? Look, what are they spraying on us? And then the person who thinks you're crazy will say, what? Oh, yeah, man, Google chemtrails. They're spraying stuff. You don't have to let them find it for themselves. Say, golly, do you know that they're messing with DNA? Do you know that there's already clones? They've already cloned animals. You know that? And then explain it to them. Say, oh, yeah, they got these things called chimeras. Oh, yeah, Google it. That's the way, folks, listen, because as Roger said, you already got an aura of radiation around you anyway. You're toxic already. So just ask questions. Because you never know who's going to hear it. And just out of curiosity, who's going to Google it? Just going to Google it. Well, how about this one? I said this one the other day, and I saw the eyes get about that big. And they were talking about somebody who just died and that they were heaven. And I said, oh, really? I said, sorry, man, but I don't think anybody's in heaven yet. They said, what? Yeah, no, I don't think people are in heaven yet. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, just check it out. Where do you go when you die? Just check it out. That's all I said. And what do you suppose happened? I got an email. So let's be smarter in how we do it. Let's not be know-it-alls. Just plant seeds. Just plant seeds. And we're so rapture conscious. We're so get out of here conscious that we're in a position where people don't care because they're not going to be here for it. And then you say, well, what about your grandkids? What about your unsaved loved ones? They're going to be here and you're going to be gone and you're okay with that? Just ask the right questions. That's all we have to do. I got something else I want to share. I feel somebody wanting to jump in here. Go ahead.
The last time I spoke at my church, I got to talk to my whole congregation about adrenochrome.
And what was the response?
Eyes wide open.
Everybody
wanted to know what.
Crazy, huh? Crazy. Eyes wide open. Let me give you some ammo here, okay? I keep putting my glasses on and off because stuff. I got to read these. I'm trying to read the chatters that are going on here and all that. This is so good, man. But see, we have to be able to. We have to be able to present evidence to other people so that they'll be equipped. It's just like, you know what I just said to you today? I talked to you about the Bitcoin, and some of you heard me. And when the show's over, you're going to go check out because you're curious about it. And rather than me trying to explain something to you that I can't explain, I just say, hey, Roger, check out this Bitcoin, man. Listen to this thing so that the Holy Spirit can guide you in all truth. You're not going to get it. Don't trust me.
Hey, Jared, click on that link in the chat. Just going back to Coach's comment on cloning. Check it out. So this is actually a request to have a bill passed to actually create clones of human and animals. They've already got four embryos and moving forward. So again, all you have to do is think on it, Coach. They're doing it. Okay.
Yeah. When's the last sermon you've heard on this, by the way, in your church? Financial. We have Dave Ramsey coming in with Financial Peace University. Our Sunday school, we're doing Financial Peace University. Really? Well, turn on Hagman last night and listen to Bitcoin, because you're going to say, oh, wow. So I'm telling you. So, Jared, pull up here, because this is pretty cool. Jared, pull up the one. What's it say? Man, I need 4 hours today because I'm awake. I got some sleep. I'm back alive. Jared, go to Deep State Takedown, I think is what it says. Deep State Takedown. Is that it? No. Oh, this is really good, too. That's not the one I want, Jared. Take that one out. Oh, that's really good. But I don't have time to do it. I'll email it to you guys. Jared, do the first one. It says pedos. Do the first one. Robert Steele is a former CIA whatever. You got to be careful with false information out there, okay? We all got to be careful. Whatever you read, you know, read it with a grain of salt, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to give you a real quickie version here. I want you to see something here that Robert Steele, you can find it, Robert David Steele, you can find him on the internet. Just Google it, Robert David Steele, and you'll find all kinds of videos and stuff from him. He's a former CIA guy, and he was one of the first ones that came out and said, listen, there's a coup going on in the government, and this pedo-gate is real, and pedophile's real, yada, yada, yada. So I want you to go down. Let's begin with the second paragraph here, because I want you guys to see when the last sermon was you heard about this. Believe it or not, you don't have to believe it. Folks, listen, you don't have to believe in the dark side, but know this, there are people who do. And you don't have to believe in demonic power, but there are people who do. And you don't have to mess with demons, but understand that there are people who do. Understand that, all right? Understand. The deep state begins with the Rothschild family and the centuries-old genius in bribing monarchs and later parliaments and other forms of legislatures into allowing them to literally own and control the central banks of all countries. The Federal Reserve in the U.S. is neither federal nor a reserve. It is the front for the Rothschild family and their assigns. In combination with the City of London and Wall Street, the central banks are the means by which every political, legal, socioeconomic, idea, culture, techno-demographic, and natural geographic conditions controlled of, by, and for the 1%. Stay with me now, okay? Robert Steele says this stuff is real. 1%. The Rothschild family is joined by the Black Pope. When's the last sermon, Roger, you heard on the Black Pope? The Rothschild family is joined by the Black Pope, the Superior General of the Society of Jesus, which is the Jesuits, and other elements of the Vatican, often far beyond the control of the White Pope, that's the guy we think's Pope, and the nominal head of the Catholic Church. In the case of the Jesuits, their power has come from being the confessors and counselors to monarchs and mandarins for centuries. My battery's running low. What's happening? Am I not plugged in? Hang on, Jared. Hang on. I didn't plug. Yeah, I am. Why is my battery running low? I did plug it in. It says I might want to plug my thing in. I don't want to lose it. Did that do it? I don't know. I lost my earplugs. Got all distracted here. Bear with me. Where'd you go, earplugs? Maybe if I follow the yellow brick road. Here we go. Okay. In the case of the Jesuits, their power has come from being the confessors, the counselors, the monarch, king, blah, blah, blah. The Freemasons, next one. The Freemasons and the Knights of Malta are among the two most important secret societies that serve as transnational, which is to say with national allegiance of any kind, without any consigliere and fixers, able to achieve any desired outcome at any level of any organization. Using a mix of bribery and blackmail, the elite government ever, this is, by the way, this is deep state. Using a mix of bribery and blackmail, the elite control every government, generally by sustaining a two-party tyranny that blocks 70% of the eligible votes and candidates from small parties or candidates who wish to be independent from the ballot access. They won't let other parties on the ballot. The politicians, together with senior bureaucrats, handpicked to be Freemasons or Knights of Malta, are merely hired hands. And most particularly, senior executives of the Secret Intelligence Services able to spy on and then blackmail politicians, judges, celebrities, and they comprise the best of the servant class in this construct. Mind control begun and used in the 1950s and far advanced today is the special purview of the secret intelligence services. Is this unbelievable? When's the last sermon you heard on this one? Oh, we don't talk about that here. $150, you can rent a room, but our people aren't going to come. Pedophilia is generally understood to be about the rape of children by adults. Children as young as 2 to 4 years old. Many children abused by pedophiles have been kidnapped and sold into slavery. And many have also been bred from birth to sale just for pedophilia. In the U.S., although the Catholic Church and its pedophile priests, roughly 10% of the total priesthood, have been known to a major enabler and cover up of pedophilia. Pedophilia is, in fact, very widespread across all demographic and religious groups, but generally trending at the elite level where it's considered a privilege of the elite, one that can be employed with impunity as long as the Federal Bureau of Investigation and 18,000 individual law enforcement jurisdictions continue to dishonor all of us by ignoring this pedophilia. One law enforcement organization, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, with arguably the highest percentage of elite pedophiles in the country within its jurisdiction, actually has a pedophile symbol on their badge. Pizzagate and Pedagate, rooted in the discovery by a Romanian taxi driver of the many emails to and from John Podesta that contain clear references to pedophilia in all of its forms, from art to swimming parties with children by name as special guests, helped expose pedophilia to a much broader audience of internet-savvy citizens. Well, its impact on public consciousness has been far greater than the Voicetown scandal in Nebraska, documented in the book, blah, blah, blah. Well, somewhat reminiscent of the White House and congressional pedophile scandals centered on the Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert, for the first time, the public began to realize that pedophilia is pervasive across both the Republican and the Democratic leadership. The arrest and conviction of Jeffrey Epstein, listen to this, a Mossad agent and fake billionaire whose assignment has been to lure as many U.S. politicians, judges, and celebrities as possible to his Lolita Island in the Caribbean so as to get them on videotape doing terrible things to children of both sexes. And was a major but largely covered up window into how pedophilia pervades every aspect of Wall Street, as well as Washington and Hollywood. Now here is what is not yet properly covered. First, that close to 1 million children a year go missing across the U.S. Two, that beyond pedophilia lie satanic murderer rituals in which children who've been kidnapped or brought into slavery or exported from Haiti by the Clinton Foundations and surrogates and others are tortured and murdered with impunity. Third, that the drinking of adrenalized child's blood is adrenalized when the victim is tortured and terrified before death. The adrenaline comes out when they get scared, so they take that blood. Think about what Mark just showed us, right? Where you can go get all these body parts, blood parts. Think of the chins boiling dogs alive to adrenalize the blood and improve the flavor of the meat. Is the ultimate pedophilia high. Silicon Valley's Peter Thiel is on record as receiving transfusions of children's blood. This is legal and a stark confirmation of what the elites have known for centuries. The final form of child exploitation appears to be rooted in the secret U.S. government program substituting children for chimpanzees and black people as subjects for medical experiments and long-range space missions, disposable children. What Mark's just talking about here. How we treat children, in my view, defines us as a society. And I'm gravely concerned by the decades-long endeavor of the elite to dumb down and fatten up the population, weaponizing food and medicine, produce millions of people who are less able to think critically, less able to move with agility, less able to be effective citizens, what should be, but is not. This democracy. Around the world, pedophilia is a scourge. The United Kingdom stands out as the worst of the Western countries, with members of the royal family and parliamentary leaders, including a former prime minister, deeply and clearly deeply immersed in both sodomizing children as well as murdering them and drinking their blood. Many other countries, such as Saudi Arabia, treat children as commodities that can be abused and traded and murdered with impunity. I'm going to stop there. You can read the rest of it. No. See, we're programmed to say, why, that's fake. That's not going on. No way that's going on, coach. You're crazy. You're crazy. Well, let me ask you again. I've asked you this before. If God is all gracious and all good and all holy and all righteous, and if Newton was right that for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, if the magnificent greatness and goodness of God is beyond our imagination, how deep and dark can the dark side go? And you ask yourself this, would this subject ever be broached in the average church in America? Help me bring it home, boys.
Coach, I've felt it, and I've been going to this church, and I'm going to go tonight to a game night, which is, you know, very spiritually enlightening, I'm sure. But, you know, I want to wake up the men in this church, and then I think one step ahead, and I say, I'm going to have to fight the pastor, and he's just going to tell me to leave. He's going to tell me to leave if I try and do almost anything, you know, out of the norm. I could feel it. You just know it's going to happen.
Like Roger said, man, it's right. There's an aura. You feel it. You're right. You're right. So, Jared, you leave. I guess, right? I guess you leave. Jesus said, kick the dust off your feet. He said, you got plenty of time. He said, your whole lifetime, you're never going to cover all the places that you could go. So that would be my response to it. And I don't know why you'd want to. Why would anybody want to be in any church, anybody, anywhere, where certain subjects are not allowed to be discussed?
They might ask you to be a washer. Careful.
Yeah, they'll co-opt you. They'll put you on the board. They'll do some way so they can co-opt you and make you a team player. That's what I've had that one before. See, guys,
can't teach what you don't know.
Can't teach what you don't know. And, Rods, they don't want to know, though. Jared, bring that picture back up. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. Hey, you know what? You know what's probably under there? They got their heads down there? Probably a big computer screen. That's probably what it is. They all got their head down there and they're looking at their cell phone. Guys, we're fighting an information battle. An information battle. And I take great pride. I shouldn't say that. That doesn't sound good. I try to bring you truth every day on the show. Every day. I try to expose you to something that I've come across that made the hair stand back up on my neck spiritually, so that you will not be among those cold and timid souls who know neither right from wrong, good from evil. It is important for this time in which we live that we open our eyes and open our mouth and begin to warn others despite what the consequences might be. We live in times like I can't even imagine what it's like to know what Mark Trump was. I can't even imagine. And to me, boy, it deepens my faith. It makes my faith come alive. It makes me see that in this battle for truth, justice, and the American way, we're in the Super Bowl. We're playing with the big boy. Yeah, Joe.
For lack of a better way to describe this, of what you've read this morning, and it makes me seriously angry, okay? Because I'm feeling the heart of God and what he was telling us, unless we become as these little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's where the greatest sin is against our children. And we just sit here.
We sit here. Not only do we put our head in the ground, we do, Joe, put our head in the hole, acting like it's not going on.
The children are Satan's soldiers of tomorrow. The children were used by Islam. The children will continue to be used by Satan. It's the parents who are stepping aside because of two income families and all the other things the government has created. It's such a complex mission that Satan's done. It's incredible the way he's broken up our homes. You go back to JR's story with just the men in the home. I mean, all of this has taken a long time. And look at where we are, you know? We're mad. Like,
Mark, we're killing.
No, we're mad. The train's left the station, and we're just feel helpless.
We either kill our children, we either make them deviant, miseducate them. We do everything we can when, in fact, we know that the children are the future, and we stick our head in the sand and act like it's not going on. JR tomorrow is going to talk about I was going to get into it today, JR, talking about, feminism, what it's done to us.
Quickly, crazy. Before you go,
yep.
1 Corinthians 14:20. Remember, the word says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Albeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. You know, those of you that hear things that prick within your spirit, within your body, and they agitate you, there's something there that tells you that you just heard truth. If you go back into your comfort zone, I pity you. I pity you because you are directly disobeying the admonition to grow in your understanding.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Huh? Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.